Begin the current daf Masechtas by the Zohar daf Nun Aleph. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Yomer, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is Rav had introduced an interesting halacha. And that is, we know that regarding any worship that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say slaughtering, if that's done out of the Beis HaMikdash, then for any type of avodah zarah, one is going to be chayv. Let's say it's not a service done in the Beis HaMikdash, then only if it's a normative practice of this avodah zarah, then you can be chayv. If not, then one is not going to be chayv. So Rav said, let's say there's an avodah zarah, an idol that's worshipped by waving a stick in front of it. So he said, if one breaks the stick, he's going to be chayv. If one throws the stick, he's going to be potter. What's the reason? So the Gemara explained, because breaking the stick is similar to an avodah done in the Beis HaMikdash, that of zvicha, of slaughtering. A slaughtering of a carbon, which you break the spine. So to here, you're breaking the stick. There it's an animal, here it's a stick. However, throwing, it's not similar to what's done of the throwing of the blood in the Beis HaMikdash, because there, when you throw the blood, the droplets separate, and here the stick stays as one piece. So that's a novelty where it's not really a service done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's similar to that. And that says the Gemara Lema, let's say this teaching of Rav is ketanoi, is actually contingent in machlekes tanoim in the following brisa. The brisa says, shachat lachagav, if someone slaughters a grasshopper for any type of avodah zarah in the world, whether it's the normal way of serving it, whether it's not the normal way of serving it, b'yud mechayef, he says one is going to be liable for serving the avodah zarah. Macham paitrim, the sages say he's going to be exempt. Says the Gemara, my labo kamevgli, isn't this that they're disagreeing about in Rav's halacha? The Mar Saba that Rabbi Yehuda held, Amrinon Ke'ein Zvicham, that we say that although slaughtering a grasshopper is not really slaughtering, because there is no halacha of slaughtering a grasshopper, to make a kosher grasshopper, you don't have to slaughter it, just like you don't have to slaughter fish. So essentially, it's like Rav's halacha of breaking a stick, where he said you're going to be chayiv, because since you could say it's similar to slaughtering, so too is the same thing about breaking a stick, where it's breaking the cord. And the reason why we could understand Rabbi Yehuda saying that same idea when he's talking about slaughtering a grasshopper is because why use a grasshopper? Talk about a chicken or a goose or a duck. Why is it saying these types of things? Because those are things that need slaughtering. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a grasshopper to say that, because it doesn't need actually a real slaughtering. It's similar to slaughtering, which is breaking the cord. Here it's also snapping the neck, just like snapping the stick. Whereas the Chacham disagree with that teaching of Rav, and they say, no, you don't say that if it's similar to slaughtering. Rather, it has to be something like is done in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be an actual slaughtering. Then you're going to be chayiv if you do it on any animal in by the Avodah Zarah. But similar to slaughtering, which is breaking a cord, so breaking a stick or breaking a grasshopper, that wouldn't qualify. Simi the Machlekes Rav is a Machlekes Tanoim. Says the Gemara, lay no. The Kul Alma, we could say that really everyone, all the Tanoim, are loyam in the Kein Zvicha. That you don't say if it's similar to slaughtering, and that you would even be chayiv regarding a stick, and that is actually even according to Behuda by a stick, not like Rav, you would be Pater. Ela Kein Pnimba Inan. Rather, you need to have it to be similar to what's literally done in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to be a type of a slaughtering. For example, a wild animal or a bird or an animal where, even though they're not fit to be karbanas, but it's a real slaughtering. Then one would be possibly chayiv for avodah zarah. Mishani chagav, but a grasshopper is different than a stick, where although there's no real slaughtering over there, but hoil b'tzavari doim l'tzavar behema, since its neck is at least similar to the neck of an animal, where it has the same type of a neck, that's why Rabbi Huda, in contrast to the Chacham, says that it's similar at least to the slaughtering of that's done inside the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to be chayiv, but the Chacham say, no, it's not a real slaughtering, and be potter. But a stick, which is not a slaughtering, it doesn't have a neck like an animal, or even like an animal, and therefore then, everyone would agree, not like Rav, that you'd be potter. Now, a related type of a teaching from Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvu, Amar Rav, he says, same type of idea. He says, "Avoid this kachav mishalev denoisa b'makel." Regarding an avodah zarah, which is served with a stick, like we said, if you shake it in front. So he said, "Shaver makel b'fanechayv," like Rav said in the previous daf, where if you break the stick in front of that avodah zarah, you're gonna. Now he adds on another point, which is the primary point of this teaching of Rav, and v'neseres. The stick becomes prohibited; it becomes a forbidden item, whether if it's normally served by breaking or whether it's not normally served by breaking. As we said in the previous daf, it's still an avoida of avoida zara to be chayiv on. Moreover, it now becomes tikravis. It becomes a sacrifice. You worship the avoida zara with this stick, which makes it forbidden. As we said, because Rav holds that breaking the stick is like a type of a slaughtering. Now, however, zarek makalafanel chayiv, although he said in the previous daf, if you throw the stick, you're going to be putter. So Rashi over here explains. In other words, if let's say the way of serving this avodah zarah is by throwing the stick. So since like the pasuk says, eche yavdu es agoyim ha'ela, however they serve it, the one is going to be chayv for doing avodah zarah. But says Rav, ve'ein neseres. So although this is the way they worship the avodah zarah, and he's going to be chayv misa for worshiping avodah zarah, but the stick itself does not become aser, because it cannot be qualified as tekrivis, as the halacha of the sacrifice of avodah zarah, which makes the thing forbidden, only if it's similar to the services that are done inside the Beis HaMikdash. And throwing is not, like we explained. As throwing the blood, it gets spread out. Throwing a stick, it doesn't. So though one is chayv for worshiping by desire, but the stick does not become forbidden to be qualified as tekrivis. It's only if it's similar to the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash that it's considered tekrivis to be awesome. On this teaching, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, Maishno Shever, but why is breaking the stick different? The Havalei Kein Zvicha, where it's similar to slaughtering. So he asked the question like we asked on the previous stuff. Zarakname have a lekein zrika. What do you mean throwing the stick? If that's how you serve the avodah zarah, it is also similar to kein panim when you throw the blood in the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei said to him, "Bein zrika mishtaberes v'leka." No, it's not the same type of a throwing. In the Beis HaMikdash, the blood, the throwing would break. The particles would separate because it's a liquid. Here, the stick stays in one piece, and therefore it's not the same as in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's not tekrivis to become that the stick should become aser. Now, if that's the case, ask the Gemara Elamiata, if you need to have it to be Kein Panim, to be considered to Krevis, to be also like what's done in the Beis HaMikdash. So Avni Beis Makoilis, this brings us back to the discussion of our previous Dafim, which we were discussing in the previous Mishnah of the stones of Avodah Zarah, Beis Makoilis, where there, the way they worshipped the Avodah Zarah, where they would throw rocks at this Avodah Zarah, which was made up of three rocks. But Maya Asru, with what do the rocks become forbidden? But they're not tikrivis of avodah zarah, because in the Beis HaMikdash you don't serve any service with throwing rocks. So Amalei, so he said to him, Afli didi kashli, I had the same question. V'sha'altid l'rab b'ravu, and asked for Rabba b'ravu, for Rabba b'ravu l'chi b'rav, and l'chi b'rav, he asked l'rav. V'amalei, and Rav said to him, Nasi ki megadl avodah kachavim. You're right, it's not coming because of tikrivis. It's like the additional rocks that are thrown onto the Markailis, onto this small one that starts off with three pieces. When you throw rocks on it, it makes it into a bigger Markailis. And therefore, actually, the reason why these rocks are forbidden is not because they're sacrifices of Avodah Zarah, it's because they've become part of the Avodah Zarah. In contrast, a stick, when you throw the stick, even though that's the way you worship this Avodah Zarah, it doesn't become part of the Avodah Zarah, because the primary Avodah Zarah there is not made up of sticks. So it's not tekrivis, because that's not what you do in the Beis HaMikdash, and neither does it become part of the Avodah Zarah, so it doesn't become forbidden. But by Merkailis, although it's not because of tekrivis, but it's because it becomes part of the Avodah Zarah itself. You're just making a bigger pile, which is a bigger Avodah Zarah. Now, that has to Gemara, but Hanich Lamando Am Avodah Kechavim Shel Oivdei Kechavim Asur Miyad. That makes sense, as we'll discuss this in Amud Beis. According to the bin that says that the Avodah Zarah of idol worshippers become forbidden right away. Right when they make it, it becomes asur. And therefore here, when you throw the rocks, and it becomes part of the Markoilis, it automatically becomes us. But according to the Bin, it holds that by the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, it does not become forbidden when he makes it, until it's actually worshipped. So then the rocks of Markoilis should be permitted, because it was never served. Why not? Because when you throw the rocks, it's not to Kravis, we say it's not really worshipping, it's just making the Avodah Zarah bigger. But how could it become us? Even though it's Avodah Zarah, but Avodah Zarah is not forbidden when you make it Avodah Zarah, it's only forbidden when you serve it. But you're never serving it because you're always just making it bigger. Avad Amalei said to him, Kol achas v'achas, every single rock that you throw onto this Markoilis, nasis avodis kechavim v'tekrevis l'chaverta. Every piece that you throw, yeah, it becomes Avodah Zarah because it's making the Markoilis bigger, but it's also considered worshipping the previous rocks that were already there. Meaning, in regards to the rocks that were there, it's considered being worshipped by it. And therefore, they become forbidden because now they were worshipped. So now they can become a bona fide forbidden Avodah Zarah, but still they can be permitted with bittul. It's not considered tekrivis. None of them are considered tekrivis because you don't do this in the Beis HaMikdash. But at least they became Avodah Zarah because they were worshipped with the later rocks that were thrown on it. But again, tekrivis, to be considered zivchim esim, which are never bittul, that is not going to be because we said it has to be kein panim. In contrast, by a stick, there, it never becomes Avodah Zarah. It's not tekrivis because you don't do it in the Beis HaMikdash. Neither to become Avodah Zarah because it's not part of the thing. And therefore, the stick is totally permitted. But by Markoilis, it's not just it becomes Avodah Zarah, it also gets worshipped by the later rocks that are thrown in it. So then he says, if that's the case, well then Basraisa, the last rock that was thrown on the Makailas, Miha Tishri, however, that rock should be permitted. Because even though it became part of the Avodah Zarah, but it was never yet worshipped, because no rock was thrown after it to worship that which was the last one that came on them. And Adam Alei said to him, okay, you're right. Iyadisle, if you recognize the last rock that was thrown on these 70 rocks over here on the Makailas of Avodah Zarah, Zil Shakla, go and take it. In other words, it's not recognizable. That's why they're all forbidden. But you're right, if you knew which one was the last one, then it would be permitted, because never, although it was made into Avodah Zarah, but it was never worshipped yet. At least according to that opinion, that says that Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew is only forbidden once it's worshipped. Or another answer of Ashiyame says, no. A different qualification which answers that last question. Kol achas v'achas, every single rock thrown on this original pile of these three rocks of Makailas, nasis tekrevis la'atzma, it becomes a worshipping to itself. Because really, Makailas has no other worship except for throwing rocks. So when you throw the rock, there's two things that happen to it. It becomes a Avodah Zarah, because you're adding it to the pile, and it also considers as if you worship the rock itself as part of the Makailas. So even the last one thrown in it becomes Aser, because it itself is a Avodah Zarah, which was worshipped by itself, and v'tekreis l'chaver, and it also is considered worshipping the other rocks that were there already before, and therefore even the last rock was considered worship and part of the Avodah Zarah, and that's why it's Aser, because it's not only a Avodah Zarah, but it was also worshipped by the throwing of itself. Now the Gemara asks on this primary halacha tznan, learned in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, that says as follows: Matzah b'Reisha. If someone finds on the top of this Markeilus, on top of this pile of rocks of this Avodah Zarah Markeilus, he finds kesus, money, kesus garments, umayis, and money, oikelim, or garments. So halacha is harelu mutarin. So these items are permitted, which the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to explain the reason for this. In contrast, parchile anavim. If he finds in it vines of grapes, ba'atari shel shebalim, or wreaths. These types of crowns made out of grain, or v'yenis shman v'salasis, or wine, oils, and flour, b'chol davar shekiyotze b'karv l'gamadeich, or all types of things which are sacrificed on the mizbeach and the mizamekdash, those types of items, if you find it on the makaylis, us is going to be forbidden. On that, as the Gemara, which was this halacha of Rav, which Rav Nachman had said over, bishla me'yenis shman v'salasis, we understand wine, oil, flour, ikka came p'nim. These types of things are things which are done in the Beis HaMikdash. Moreover, not only are these things utilized in the Beis HaMikdash, when you throw them, there are types of things, when you throw them, that they're going to break. So it's similar to the Zrika of the Dam, because these things fall apart. Wine and flour, they break apart. And that qualifies to the halacha of Rav, which I'm not going to say over, that therefore they become forbidden items. Regarding the vines of grapes and the wreaths of grain, like in Panimika, first of all, none of these items are used in the Beis HaMikdash. And neither, if you would throw them, would they qualify to be like the avodas that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, because these things don't fall apart, they're solids. So how could these things become forbidden if Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that the only items that become forbidden when they're used in the worship of Avodah Zarah, if they're kain panim, to be considered to crave as Avodah Zarah? On that Amar Rava Omu'ula, he answers, kigun shebitzarin mitchilakach. We're talking about where this grain or these grapes were plucked initially for the utility of being used for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the plucking, the detaching, since it was done for Avodah Zarah, is similar to the halacha of Rav of breaking the stick in front of the Avodah Zarah, which is like slaughtering, and that breaking off from the twig, from the branch, is an Avodah of Zvicha, that's like Kein Panim, and that's why one is going to be make the item usher, like the breaking of the stick. A similar type of halacha related to these ideas, Amar B'Bavon, Amar B'Yechon, says, Minayin lezavech behema balas mum labaitz kacham. From where do we know that if someone slaughters an animal that's blemished, Avodah Zarah, shub pater, that he's going to be exempt? Shenema, because the pasuk says in Shemais, zavech lelehim yachram. Whoever slaughters to deities, to Avodah Zarah, will be wiped out. Because bilti lashem lavade, these things should only be done for Hashem, only for him. Which sounds like something that's fit for Hashem, that's what the pasuk's talking about. The Torah only made forbidden to do these sacrifices like zvicha, like slaughtering, only something that's done in the Beis HaMikdash. And since a behemoth bal mum is not brought in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore that's not considered something that to be liable on by doing it for Avodah Zarah. And that Havi bar Rava. Rava asked, Bamai, what's the case talking about? What type of a bal mum? Elam a bedukin shebe'ayin. If we're talking about that there's cataracts in the eyes of the animal, and which we don't bring in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, if a non-Jew, if someone brings it as a Avodah Zarah for the Avodah Zarah, then it's going to be potter. But hashta libnei noyach, if regarding we find by bnei noyach, which as long as the Torah wasn't given yet, every person, including the Jews, were called bnei noyach. The halacha is chazi legvaya bebama didhu. It was fit to even bring it as a sacrifice to Hashem on their own altars, as Gemara learns later on that a mechusar aver, if it's lacking a limb, is forbidden for them, but no other blemish. So therefore, if it only has a cataract where it's not missing a limb, it's actually permitted for ben noach to bring it as a carpet to Hashem. So are we going to entertain the idea that it won't be problematic as serving it as avodah zarah? Of course, that type of a blemish where he could even bring it for Hashem, so that for sure would qualify as bilti l'shem levadli, for sure he'd be liable for zaveich l'lehim yachram, that it would be a liability for sacrificing for avodah zarah. So rather, says the Gemara, but mechusar aver. No, rather we're talking about where the animal is blemished to the effect that it's missing a limb, where there we don't find anywhere that that's fit to be brought for Hashem. Okay, Rabbi Laza, like Rabbi Laza says, Dam Rabbi Laza says, minayin l'mechusar aver, from where do we know, regarding an animal that's missing a limb, shu asl b'nei noyach, that's forbidden even for a ben noyach, to go ahead and bring it as a carbon to Hashem. Shem, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis. It says, Mekol achai, mekol basa, noyach was said, what type of animals he has to bring into the teva, into the ark, from every living thing, from every flesh, shnai mekol, two of every type. So Amr Torah, the Torah is saying, what's this redundancy of mekol achai, mekol basar? The Torah was saying, havei behema, bring an animal, what type of animal, what type of basar? That's what the words mekol achai is teaching, shechayin rashi evarin shalah, that the tips of its limbs are all alive, because it was known in front of Hashem that Noach was ultimately going to bring sacrifices from the animals, like the pasuk actually says, v'yikach mekol ha-behema tari, that he brought from all living things. So he had to ultimately bring karbanos from them, and therefore he was told to make sure that all their limbs were intact. That's how you see that a ben Noach is forbidden to bring if it's missing a limb. So that's the type of balmum that we're talking about, where it's not fit for Lashem levade, and therefore one would not be liable for bringing it as a karban for avodah zarah of zaveich l'lehem yachram. And that has to Gemara in this teaching of Rabbi Elazar. But you need this words mekalachai not to teach that the rashi evarim, that the tips of its limbs should all be alive, that it's not missing any limbs, because you need it for a different teaching, with lemuti treifa, which is to say that it actually has to be alive, meaning not an animal has a fatal mortal defect, where that's the type of animals he wasn't supposed to bring onto the teva. But it's not teaching that it can't be missing a limb. So that says the Gemara, no, that it can't be a treifa. The Gir says, Milchayez Zeranavka. That was learned from a different word in the Pasuk, that it has to be alive for a seed, that it has to be something that could proliferate and have children. Now, an animal that has a mortal defect, that's a trefa, which if it has, let's say, a hole in its membrane of its brain, or if its legs are cut off, that type of animal cannot give birth. So that's excluding a trefa from that Pasuk. So what's Mekalachai teaching? That it has to have its Rosh Eivarm again, because only the Karbanis can be brought if it's not Mechusar Eivar. But in that, as the Gemara, Hanich Lamandama Trefa Eni Yeledes. The answer we just gave is only good according to the opinion holds that an animal with a moral defect cannot give birth. Lamandama Trefa Yeledes, according to the opinion holds that a Trefa could give birth. So Ma'ik Lamem, what are you going to say? Then therefore we need it, since it can't be excluded from Lachai Ezerah, because even a Trefa could give birth, so then you need Mekalachai to exclude it of bringing a Trefa. So, because you're not learning it from Lachai Zara. So how do you know that the animals that he had to bring as a carbon could not have been missing a limb? And that says the Gemara, no, Omer Krok, because the Pasuk says that Noach was told the animals he should bring should be itach, with you, which teaches itach, b'daimelach, the ones with you, meaning the ones that are similar to you, which is not a treifa. So therefore, we have the word mekalachai extra to exclude if it's missing an aver. And that is the Gemara, how do you know that? V'dimon Noach gufi treifa haba. Maybe Noach himself had a mortal defect. Now, although he lived many years, maybe this mandama holds that a treifa could live. So therefore, you can't learn out from itach, that has to be similar to you, to exclude a treifa, and maybe mekalachai is needed to exclude a treifa. Now, it's not being learned out from the understanding of the word mekalachai, because a treifa could live, like we're saying, because we're saying Noach himself was a treifa and he lived. Rather, from the extra word mekalachai, which we're going to explain. What does the word mekalachai come to say? Like a term of vitality, meaning which is excluding a treifa who does not have that vitality. But therefore, we don't have a source from a chusar aver, because mekalachai we need to teach to exclude a treifa. So that says the Gemara, no. You can't say that Noach himself was a treifa, because Tamim Kesiv Bei, it says regarding him that it was complete, which means say he didn't have a hole in his brain membrane or his missing a foot or something like that. And that says the Gemara, but Dimma Tamim B'Dracha. Maybe when it says that it was whole in his ways, who said it means about his body? Says Gemara, no, tzaddik said that it was righteous. So we know he was whole in his ways. So tamim must be in his body. And that says Gemara, no, dimma tamim b'drachav, maybe whole means in his ways, and b'tzaddik b'maisav, and righteous means in his actions. How do you know that he was unblemished? Says Gemara, no, you cannot say that noyach had a mortal defect, because if you're going to say noyach himself was a treifa, that omli rachmona dekava seich ayil, so on that the Hashem, the Torah is telling him, itach, take only the animals that are similar to you, which are only treifas, because you're a treifa, and shlem and loytail, and don't bring in whole, must be that he was whole, and therefore he was telling him to take in animals like him, which are whole, and that's excluding a treifa, and therefore we have mekalachai, extra to teach, to exclude a mechusar eva. So now I ask the Gemara, nahashta denafka mi'itach, so now that we're learning out the exclusion of him bringing a treifa animal on with him, from the word itach, which is similar to you, that you're not a treifa, so do the animals, so then l'chai zera lamalisa, and why do we need the words in the pasuk that the animal should be that which could have seed? We already excluded a treifa. So even if a treifa can't give birth, we already excluded that, so we know it's animals that can have children. What are we learning out from that? Says the Gemara, no, imi itach, if we would only have had the word itach, the ones that are similar to you, so yeah, we would have excluded an animal that's a treifa. But havamina, we would have thought to say, letzav sabiyama, the reason why noyach should not take on the treifa animal is because the purpose was that he needed companionship, company on the ark for that long journey. And vafila zok and vafila sris, but however, although the animal can't be a treifa, and the reason why is because we don't want it dying on the teva itself, but it could be even an elderly animal, or even the animal that was taken away from the ability of having children when they're sterilized. And but however, the fact of being fruitful multiplying, maybe that we were not particular, and therefore that could even be a zakan and a sris. And that's what teaches lahachias or lachayezera, to teach you that has to be an animal, not only that's not a treva, but they could have children to be able to be part of a rava, and therefore again, that we explain and answer the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, that we know from a kalachai that a ben noyach cannot bring an animal that's a mechusar aver, and therefore that's what we're learning out in this teaching, that bilti l'ashem levadai is an animal for anyone that's mechusar aver, even a ben noyach cannot be brought as a carbon, and therefore if one would bring such a type of animal, a bal mum, for an avodah zarah, he would not be chayv. Now the Gemara continues with a related teaching on this idea. Amar Belazar, he says, minayin l'sheichet behemah l'markayil l'shu chayvim. Where do we know that if someone slaughters an animal for the avodah zarah of markayilus, even though it's not the normal way that it's served by slaughtering an animal, like we said, the way it's usually served by throwing rocks at it, how do we know that one would be chayv? Shemak says in the pasuk in the Yikra, it says, v'yizbuchu oid esivcheim l'seirim, that they're not going to anymore slaughter their slaughterings for the demons, meaning for avodah zarah, which just teaches in Likadarka, if it's not coming to teach regarding an avodah zarah, that's the normal way of serving it by slaughtering an animal in front of it. How do we know that's not what it's talking about? Because d'chsiv, we have a different pasuk in Devarim that says already, Eicha yavdu agoyim ma'eles Eloheihem, that how do these nations serve their gods, which that already teaches don't do their ways. And so therefore, however it's served, if it's slaughtering, so you already know that from that pasuk. So what's this pasuk teaching regarding a prohibition of slaughtering an animal of avodah zarah? Must be teaching us that even if it's not the normal way of serving that avodah zarah, like markayilus, still one would be liable for slaughtering an animal in front of that avodah zarah. On that, is that what this pasuk in Vayikra is coming to teach us for this idea of being chayev for shchita for any avodah zarah like markayilus, even though it's not the way it's normally served? But you need this pasuk to teach a different teaching, like the time, like learn the brayso. The Ketintam and Beis, the brayso says, ad kan, up until this pasuk. This pasuk of Velayizbechu, which is those groups of psukim over there, is talking about in the parasha of Shchutei Chutz, which is the prohibition of slaughtering an animal, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather the slaughtering the carbon outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So, says the Braisa, up until this pasuk, the idea of that of the psukim over there was who Medabu is talking about, Bekachim Shekdishan Bishas Isra Abamis, regarding carbonists that were sanctified by when the private altars were already forbidden. Because it was already after the Mishkan was put up. Once the Mishkan was put up, you could only bring karbanis by the Mishkan. When there was no Mishkan up, you could bring your karbanis on your own private altar. So up until that pasuk by pasuk Zion, those psukim which were prohibiting bringing karbanis out of the Beis HaMikdash was talking about when it was sanctified already at a time of prohibition of bamas and v'ekriven b'shasis abamas, and also it was sacrificed at a time when bamas were forbidden, where the pasuk taught you the two primary ideas. Shahari Anshin Amr, the pasuk already revealed to you the punishment of doing so, which is karis. Shnemek says in the pasuk over there in the Yikra, it says vel pesach oil moyed lehevia begoymer. If he doesn't bring it, this carbon, to the entryway of the oil moyed, and rather he goes and he brings it outside of the area, says what the pasuk says over there, but nichrash ishahu bekerav amoy, that he's going to get karis. So einishemano, it already taught us a punishment. And asar minan, what do we know regarding the law of the warning that one is prohibited of doing it? Always have to teach two things, that is prohibited and that is a punishment. Tamalun, it's a pasuk teaching Devarim, where it says, Hishamalcha, you should be careful. Pen talo oilasecha, maybe you're going to bring up your oila, b'chamalkam ashatir, like the pasuk says, wherever you want to, wherever you're going to see fit, meaning not in the base of Mikdash. And which, ukadirab oven number ila, that the Amr above number ila, he says, kamalkam shenema hishamal upen va'al, wherever it says that to be careful, or maybe, or don't, say it's referring to a negative prohibition. So although it doesn't say straight out don't, it says hishamar, but hishamar pen va'al, those are referred to a negative prohibition. So that was the first psukim we're talking about. Mikam ve'elach, from this point and on, meaning from the pasuk v'layizbuchu oid and onward, who medaber, it's coming to say an added chiddush. It's talking about bekadshim shekdishin b'shas heter abamis, where these karbanos were actually sanctified when private altars were permitted, meaning before the Mishkan was put up. And that the pasuk is warning you that even though it was sanctified at a time when bamas were permitted, you're not allowed to go ahead anymore and sacrifice to Hashem on the bama, where vehikrivim mishas isar bamas, and then the person went and sacrificed it on his own private altar, meaning not in the Mishkan, when bamas are already forbidden. That's what the pasuk is teaching. Shalom, like it says over there, lamana sheyaviu b'nei Yisrael esavcheim, so that the Jewish people bring their karbanos, ashehim zayvchem, which they slaughter, which that sounds like it's saying in the present tense, meaning that they bring their kabanas, which she'etati l'chokfar, which I had permitted to you to bring to Hashem on your own private altar. But that's the pasuk teaching. However, now that bamas are forbidden, even though it was sanctified when it was still permitted, it's like you're slaughtering al panei hasada, on the face of the field, meaning for avodah zarah, which Malamed just teaches, shekol hazevech bebama, b'shas isra bamas, whoever brings a carbon on the private altar at the time when altars are forbidden, even if he sanctified it when it was still permitted, the pasuk considers him as if he's sacrificing on the face of the fields, meaning as if he's bringing an animal for avodah zarah. Now, more when the pasuk says vevim l'Hashem, that you should bring it to Hashem, zumitzis asay, that's a positive commandment. In other words, for these things which were sanctified even before the Mishkan was put up, and it was sacrificed afterwards on the bama, it's saying a that he violates a positive commandment, and says the gemara mitzis loisus him. Now, how do we know that he violates a negative prohibition? That's the pasuk teaches that they shouldn't slaughter anymore their kabanas, where it's telling you that it should not be done outside of the Mishkan. Now continues the Gemara, Yochel Yehei Anish Karis. You would think, however, that just like those which were sanctified at the time that it's forbidden to bring on bamas, and then he brought it, just like over there that there's a punishment of Karis, like we said before, so too by these were that they were sanctified before, but now when they're sacrificing it's forbidden, that there will also be Karis. Tamalama, that's the pasuk teaches in those psukim, chukas oilam tia zois lehem, an everlasting statute, this should be for them. What's zois lehem, this should be for them? It's saying, zois lehem, that which is that what we said in the pasuk, that there's a positive commandment, a negative prohibition, that's what they're getting, but v'loy acheres lehem, but something else they will not get, meaning they will not get karas. So one thing says the Gemara, what we see is that this pasuk is teaching a warning, a prohibition for slaughtering karbanas outside of the Mishkan, for kadshim, which was sanctified when bamas was still permitted, and then, but they're being sacrificed when they're now forbidden. So how do you see from this pasuk a prohibition for slaughtering from our kailis, or for any avodah zarah that's not the normal way of slaughtering, if this pasuk is being used for the lachas of kadshei chutz? So on that says, Amar Rav, he says, Karibe, you could read this pasuk, it's actually providing a source for two isurim. The words in the pasuk are v'lo yizbuchu oid, but you could read it v'lo yizbuchu, don't slaughter, v'karibe v'lo oid, and also you could read it no more, because that word oid is unnecessary. So that's coming to say that this warning is going on both to be considered as two negative prohibitions. One is do not sacrifice, meaning the kadshim machutz, even those which were sanctified at a time when they were permitted bamas, but now it's forbidden. And the word oid is coming to say for l'seirim, for demons, for avodah zarah, that one should not slaughter an animal for any avodah zarah, even that of makarlis, which not normally served by slaughtering, rather throwing rocks, even there it's going to be forbidden. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, and we had quoted this Mishnah on an Aleph. Matzah Bereisha, if someone finds on top of the Avodah Zarah of Markoilis, which we were discussing in this perek, he finds ma'is, money, ksus, garment, or kalim, or vessels, harei elu mutaran, these items are going to be permitted, they're not forbidden as elements of Avodah Zarah, as the Gemara will explain, because these are not items of beautifying the Avodah Zarah, and therefore they're permitted. In contrast, parchila anovim, vines of grapes, vatar shel shebalim, and reefs of grain, v'yenish, v'shmonim, v'salosis, and wines, and oils, and flowers, or any item that's similarly sacrificed and brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach, usher, those items, if you find it on top of the Markoilis, will be forbidden. Says the Gemara, how do we know the halacha of our Mishnah? So Amar B'chir Bar Yisrael Amreishi says, there seems to be a contradiction. One pasuk says in Devarim, you'll see their abominations and their filth, meaning referring to their idols of the nations that you're going to conquer, which eats ve'evin chesav ezav asher imam. You can see they're made out of wood, out of stone, out of silver, out of gold, which is with them, which sounds like that they would make them out of all these different elements. And the pasuk is calling these elements shikutzehem. Obviously, that whatever they bring in front of the Avodah Zarah becomes aser, even if it's wood or stone. However, because of Echadam, there's a pasuk in the Varm that says, Lo yisach mit kesav ezav aleim, do not desire the silver and gold that's on their idols, but it doesn't mention wood and stone. So haketzah, how we resolve the two psukim? So that the Gemara points out that those two psukim say different wordings. One pasuk says imoham, that's with them, and one says aleim, that's on them. So that the Gemara explains imohem dumida aleim. What it says is with them is similar to what the pasuk is saying that's on them, which is ma aleim davishal noyasa. Just like the pasuk says, do not desire what's on them. It's talking about things that beautify the avodah zarah, because that pasuk only mentions silver and gold. She'enishal noy mutter, but if it's not beautifying it, it's going to be mutter. Afimam, so too the pasuk that talks about what's with them, which does mention wood and stone. It's only if davishal nai usr, only if it's beautifying, which you can beautify if even out of wood or out of stone. If it's beautifying, then it's usr. Fisha'inashal nai mutter, but if it's not beautifying, then it's going to be permitted, which the Gemara later on is going to ask. But the halacha of our Mishnah, putting money on the head of the Avodah Zarah, which is beautifying, because money is something of something that's precious, and yet still our Mishnah says it's mut. But the Gemara first asks, but maybe say the opposite. Maybe resolve the pasuk by saying that the pasuk that says on top of them should be similar to the pasuk that says that's what's with them. Which ma imam kamash imam, just like whatever's with them. It means whatever's with them, two interpretations. Either because the pasuk mentions even wood or stone, and generally wood and stone are not necessarily beautifying things. Or another interpretation is because the reason why we assume whatever is with them, because the word asher that it says over there is a lashon riboy, it's inclusive and inclusionary term, which would sound like whatever is with them. So maybe we should say afaleim kol shaleim. Maybe whatever is on top of them is also whatever is on top of them. Unless it's Gemara, no, you can't say that, because if that's the case, then lo yirma aleim. Then you don't need the pasuk of saying that whatever is on top of them is forbidden. That whole pasuk wouldn't be necessary. Because even if what's only with them, that's not literally on top of the idol itself. You tell me the pasuk is considering whatever item it is, even if it's not beautifying. Is going to be considered shikutzim, is going to be considered part of the Avodah Zarah. So what's on top of the idol? Of course. Rather, it must be the other way around, that we're comparing what's with it to what's on it, just like the pasuk what's on it only says kesav ezav, dvarim shel nai, so to whatever's with it, although it mentions eitz and evan, but it has to be things that beautify the Avodah Zarah, that's what's going to be forbidden. Now that the Gemara asks, well, how does that explain the halacha of our Mishnah? Ma'is davishal nayhu, but money is things of that beautify something. It's showing money on this thing. So why does the Mishnah say that if you find money on the barkoil, it's going to be permitted? It's something that's on it. That's a davishal nay. So Amri de Berbianai, the seven Shiva Berbianai, we're talking about that you find the money bekis kasher. It's in a knotted wallet. V'toli lebetzavar, it's hanging from the neck of the idol. So you don't even see the money, so it's not beautifying. It's just like a bag hanging. Since it's not beautifying, therefore it's permitted. But the Gemara says, "Ksus davishonayu," a garment on the Avodah Zarah is also a beautifying thing. Says the Gemara, "Amid the Rebbe Yanai, biksus mukupelis." We're talking about that the garment was folded. Umenachas la'rosh is just put there on the head. It's not beautifying it. It's not wearing it. It's just like you need a convenient place where to put it, and therefore it's not us. Says the Gemara, "Klit davishonayu." What are we putting a vessel, a receptacle on the top, the head of the Avodah Zarah, like some type of a hat? That's beautifying. Why is that mutter? And Rav Papa says, "Dischifalei mashchilta areshi." We're talking about where they put a mashchilta, where the Gemara in Shabbos says the word mashchilta comes from mashi kula, that everyone washes with it, where they would wash garments and wash their hands in that, where it's a type of like a goblet type of a of a cup on top of the head of the Avodah Zarah, that doesn't look like a hat. It looks just, it's a long a vessel where they would put water in it, and therefore that's not beautifying, and therefore that's going to be mutter, because aleihem is only what's davar shel night. Now, Amar Avasi Bachi qualifies this halacha, and he says, kol shu lifnim min ha-kilkolin, whatever is within the curtain that separates the inner sanctum of the idol. Now, the word kilkolin really is a deviation of the word kolayim, just didn't want to use the same word as we use in the Beis HaMikdash. So it was within the area of the curtains. Then says Rav Asi Bar Chiya, afila mayim melech. Then even water and salt, which are not things of nai, which we said to be aser with dvarm shel imam or aleim has to be dvarm shel nai, even so, if it's in the inner area of the curtain, those items would be aser. The reason for that is because water and salt are items that are used inside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you're right, it's not going to be aser because the halacha of our mishnah of dvarm shel nai. It's going to be aser because we consider it as tikravis. Why is it here in the area? Must be it's used in the sacrifices of the idol. And tikravis, it could be aser for, because it's similar, like we said in the previous Gemara, that's like what's kein shel panim, and therefore that could qualify as tikravis avodah zarah. Now, however, chitzlik kakalon, but let's say you find these items outside of the curtain, then they're obviously not considered, they're not tikravis, they're not sacrifices, because then it would be inside the curtain. So therefore, then it depends. Davar shel nai aser. If it's an item of beautification, then it's going to be aser, because that's like we just taught before. That would be included in asher imohin, that anything that's beautification, which we learned from aleihan, same thing as iman, so that's with the idol. It's not tikravis, because then it would be inside, but it's a davar shel nai, and therefore it's going to be aser. She'en shel nai mutter, but if it's not an item of beautification, then it's going to be mutter. Because even if it's a type of an element like water and salt, which is used as tekrevis, and it could be like tekrevis because it's used inside the Beis HaMikdash, but since it's out of the curtain, it must be it wasn't put there to be tekrevis, and it's also not shel nai, so it doesn't qualify neither for tekrevis or for the halacha of dvarim shel nai. Now, however, Amar Bisa Bachanina says, Naktinan, we have a tradition that in Kilkolin, there's no halacha of this separation of the curtain, as we just said, there's differences regarding if it's inside the curtain or outside, that doesn't apply loy le pa'ar, v'loy le makailis, not for these two avodah zarahs of pa'ar and of makailis. So the Gemara asks, Lamai, for what halacha did we say that these two avodah zarahs do not have the halacha of the curtain? Ilem, if you think it's to say that panim kechutzdami v'shari, that even what's inside the curtain is considered like it's outside the curtain, and therefore it's going to be mutter. In other words, that the only thing that's going to be aser that's placed over there is something that is a davar shel nai, but something that's not a beautification like water and salt, even though it's inside the curtain, it's not going to be aser like we said regarding other avodah zarahs. But how could that be? Hashta pa'uri mifa'aren kamei, if like by the avodah zarah pa'ar, that the way they actually serve the Avodah Zarah is by defecating, by relieving themselves in front of that Avodah Zarah. So mayim emelech le mekarvan le, so you think that they wouldn't use water and salt as sacrifices to be considered to kravis? If they relieve themselves, for sure they would do things like water and salt, where they're not even as denigrating. So why wouldn't that be considered as a possible to kravis? To say if it's us or if it's inside the curtain. Ela rather, says the Gemara, the opposite. Afil chutz kibifnim dami. No, even what's outside the curtain is like it's inside the curtain. For us, it's going to be forbidden. Because all the services of Makalis and Pa'ar are done in a denigrating way, throwing rocks at it or relieving on it. And therefore, the whole halacha of the curtain as a separation is only because it's a way of modesty and respect for the idol. So therefore, that doesn't apply by Pa'ar and Makalis, because the whole avoid is a derech bezoyin. And therefore, that won't be considered as a separation. And therefore, it's all considered in the area of the Avodah Zarah, which we do have to suspect that even the water and salt out of the curtain might have been used as tekrevis, and therefore, it's going to be aser. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of previous Mishnah, is regarding the prohibited benefit of an Avodah Zarah. Says the Mishnah, Avodah Zarah Meshoy Legino Emerchetz, an Avodah Zarah that had in front of it a garden or a bathhouse. So, Nen and Mehen Shalei B'Tovi, a lot have benefit from that garden or the bathhouse without any benefit to the Avodah Zarah, meaning you can't give any payment or reward to the priests that are in charge of that Avodah Zarah. Now, the reason why that has to be the interpretation, because benefiting from the merchatz and the garden, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. Because as the Gemara said on Daf Memdalim Abayis, there's no hektish for Avodah Kachavim. If you designate something for Avodah Zarah, unless it's used in the service of Avodah Zarah, which is not the case by the garden and the merchatz, there's no Isra Avodah Zarah on that. So what do we mean that you're allowed to have benefit shalei b'tayv? But meaning as long as you don't pay to the priest for the usage of that, then it's okay. But ve'einen mehen b'tayv, but you're not benefit from it if you're doing a payment, some type of a favor back to them for the utility of it, that would be forbidden. Now, Hayishalav v'shalachem, says the Mishnah, if let's say the garden or the bathhouse was half owned by the idol and half owned by other private people, then you could have benefit from it, as the Gira says, b'tayvo v'shalay b'tayvo, then whether by giving them payment or whether not giving them payment, both are okay. Continues the Mishnah, avaydis kachavim shalayvi kachavim, regarding the idol of a non-Jew, as we mentioned this halacha many times, so this Tana of our Mishnah says, asur miyad, becomes forbidden right away, right when he makes it. V'shal Yisrael, but the idol of a Jew, in the surah achad yavid, only becomes forbidden once he worships it. Amabai, he qualifies and explains the halacha of our Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, b'tayva, what's prohibited to do for the if you're using the merchats of the avaydis zara, b'tayva means b'tayva is kaimim. If you do a favor for the priest, if you pay them, that's forbidden. Shalei b'tayva, without goodness, that means shalei b'tayva is kaimim. Without doing something for the priest, then you're allowed to use it. Which the Gemara explains, lafuki tayvis avedeho, which excludes if one would go ahead and do a goodness for the idol worshippers who are the attendants of the avaydis zara. With the shari, that's permitted, because that doesn't bother us if he gives them a token, a tip, or something for those workers over there. As long as he doesn't give it to the priest, that's not considered doing a tayvah to the avodah zarah, and using the merchats and the gina, that's not problematic, and neither to give a tip for those workers. Now, ikid demasin la aseva, that those who learned this teaching of Abaya on the next teaching of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, hayishalav v'shalachem, if it was half owned by the avodah zarah and half owned by others, then you could have benefit from it, whether with goodness or not with goodness. B'tayvah, what does it mean when the Mishnah said that when there's an avodah zarah that has a garden or a bathhouse, that it's aser b'tayvah, it's aser to have benefit from it with goodness? It means b'tayvah's karmen, means doing good to the priests, like we explained in the Mishnah. What does it mean, but you'll have benefit from it shalei b'tayvah, without doing good? It means shalei b'tayvah's karmen, without doing any good to the priests. Which the Gemara explains, zaz lafuki tevis abedau, that's excluding if he does goodness, a favor to the actual attendants of that attend to and take care of the basic needs of the idol, the shari, where that's permitted. In other words, it doesn't bother us if this Jew who's using the bathhouse or the garden gives a tip or some token money to the attendants, that's okay. As long as he's not giving to the priest, then the actual bathhouse that we said is not forbidden, and neither is giving to these attendants considered forbidden. For the priest, that would already be considered a prohibited benefit to the idol. Now, Igdimasin La Sefa, those who taught Abai's teaching, not on the first teaching of the Mishnah, but on the second teaching of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, let's say Hayishalov Vishalachem, let's say this bathhouse or this garden was half owned by secular investors and half owned by those who took care of the idol. Then the men Bateva Vishalabitab, then the Mishnah said, then one could benefit from it, whether with goodness or without goodness. And that is where Amabai, he qualified this teaching. He said, what does it mean Bateva Vishalabitab? B'tayva with goodness means b'tayvas acherim, where since this is half owned by others, he can go ahead and benefit the others. Shalei b'tayva, but without goodness, meaning shalei b'tayvas kaimrin. That is, he cannot benefit the investors of the priest. That he can't do. So he cannot benefit b'tayva shalei b'tayva, meaning he could either do good to the others, or without doing any goodness, meaning that means to the priest. Which means, say, even in this case, he can, according to this interpretation of Abai, he cannot benefit the priest. So that explains the Gemara. Man the Masnei Aseva, the one who taught Abai's teaching, like we just said on the second teaching of the Mishnah, Koshkin Aresha. For sure, he would hold that on the first teaching of the Mishnah, when it's totally owned by the idol worshippers, then for sure he's not allowed to give payment to the priest. But Man the Masnei Aresha, the one who taught Abai's teaching as we first taught it on the Resha. But on the second teaching of the Mishnah, since there are other investors with the owners of the idol, then actually that teaching of Abai would hold that he could even benefit the priest themselves. He could pay the priest because it's not totally owned by the idol, and therefore b'tayva would mean whether he does good to the priest or not to the priest, either way is okay. He could go ahead and give the money even to the priests of the idol, because it's not totally owned by the idol. Now the Mishnah said, continuing on to basic halachas of avodah zarah, that avodas kechavim shalayv kechavim, regarding the idol of a non-Jew, asur miyad, becomes forbidden right away. Says the Gemara, masnit mani, who is the talmid of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva hi. Rabbi Akiva, it's not like learning a braisa, it's actually machlekes. Pasuk in Devarim says, avi tayveidin es kol ha-mekaymos, you should totally destroy all the places, asha avdu shamagayim, where the nations went and served their idols. Says the braisa, bekelim she-neshtamshu behen lavoitis kechav makasa medaba. What's the pasuk talking about? Talking about the vessels that they used in the service of Avodah Zar, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? The Pasuk says all the places. How do you see in the thing about the Kelim? But that's what the Brice is saying, that you see over here that it's talking about the vessels which are used in the service of Avodah Zar. Continues the Brice, Yachal Asam Le Gemarim. You would think if they make it but didn't finish it yet. Or Gemarim Levim, if they finished it but they didn't bring it yet. Or Hevim Le Nishtamish Men, but if they brought it but they didn't use it yet. Yachal Yuasurim, you would think it would be forbidden even if it wasn't yet used. Tamalayma Asha Avdu Shamagim, that's what the Pasuk teaches, which the nations went and served it over there. Which teaches you She'in Asur Nachayavdu, that these vessels do not become forbidden until they're actually served. From here they said, the idol of a non-Jew, does not become forbidden until it's served, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? You just explained, although we don't know how, that the Pasuk talks about vessels, so how do you have a source for the idol itself that it only becomes forbidden when it's served? Maybe the idol becomes also right when it's made, but the vessels, which that's what he's saying the Pasuk talks about, maybe that's only forbidden once it's served. But that's what the Brisa says. Continues the rice of Ishal Yisrael Astur Miyad, and the idol of a Jew becomes forbidden right away. That's the Rabbi Shmuel. That's not who our Mishnah is like. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says Chilif Advarim, the exact opposite. And later on, the Gemara is going to explain his reasoning. But he says, like our Mishnah, Avoidis Kachav Mishal Eve Kachav Mastur Miyad, the idol of a non-Jew becomes forbidden right away. Ishal Yisrael Achat Yavid, but the one of a Jew is only forbidden once it's worshipped. Which is like the halacha of our Mishnah, which said that the avodah zarah is kachav mishal avodah kachav asur miyad, and shal yisrael ein asura ad shadayavid.